Well, we're going to start out this morning here. We're going to continue in the areas of wisdom. I wasn't exactly sure what the Holy Spirit had some idea of things, but there's some things we want to talk about dealing with what I call, what could put it as, is practical wisdom, which is really an important thing. Practical wisdom, because the wisdom of God, as I wrote in the thing to say, sometimes people look at just wisdom as some spiritual thing, you know, when we talk about it from a Christian standpoint. But understand that the wisdom that God gives us is about living in this life. It's about here. So in other words, it has application here. And the Bible tells us about, you know, the way we live, our conduct of life. There's a wisdom and way to live that the Bible teaches. So, you know, it's one of the things I have always emphasized. There are some things, you know, the Bible will lead us over. And I mean, I've read about, you know, and things that the Bible says about heaven and looking into those things. But I don't spend the majority of my study time reading about heaven. I don't spend the majority of my time reading, you know, the book of Revelation and find out. I don't spend, because I'm personally, myself, I'm more interested about living right now. What am I supposed to do now? What am I, how am I supposed to walk and live my life now? You know, when I came into the kingdom, I got born again in 1980, and in the 80s, everybody was on this, it was end times kick, and they were just doing all this about end times stuff, and they were writing books and all this kind of stuff. But I started to watch Christians around where Christians couldn't get healed, they couldn't get delivered, they're praying about things in their life and things ain't working, and they're spending all their time studying and looking, you know, at stuff. You know, is everybody can't wait, you know, listen to radio and television to the next guy who's going to give a prophecy about something, and it's like, hold it. If I can't, no, it's just with me. What's the point of looking to this stuff if I can't get healing working for me? Well, then what's the point of chasing after any of that stuff? What do I care about? I might not live long enough to see none of it. I mean, get rid of it. I mean, what's the matter if I go along and I can't get, you know, myself straightened out financially and I'm just going to live miserable and not never have enough till, you know, those days come? If I can't make it work, those days come, it ain't going to get any easier, folks. It's going to be worse on you. It's about getting things. And wisdom, God gives wisdom so we can make decisions, because the decisions that we make each day is like the decisions we make today will determine tomorrow. You know, the decisions I make tomorrow, they're another thing for looking future beyond that. And you need to understand that. Most people are always, you know, we want to, as Christians, we have a vision down the road. But there's things that must be walked in now to get there. And if they're not walked in, you may not end up there. You may end up with a whole life. You know, many Christians, and I saw this when I came into the kingdom, and it was God moving. God moved in many people and moved and put visions in their heart for things. And you know, I watched them over time. There's many people come in. I knew many people were called to the ministry. I knew they were there. When I come in and I knew I was called, there was people called. I knew God called them. They never ended up there. But I watched. It was because all the decisions that they were making at that time, I knew they couldn't end up there. They weren't going to. You couldn't make the decisions they were making. You couldn't do the things. They were following this and that. Somebody come along with this, and they're chasing after this, and they're chasing after that. They had no path to where they were going. You know, it's one thing God dealt with me. When I started out and I knew I was called to ministry, I wasn't supposed to get into the business field. I wasn't supposed to get. I was supposed to focus to head toward the ministry. That's what he called me to. Now, that wouldn't be somebody else. Somebody else, some guy called to business. That's fine. But you have to know what you're called to. And I watch people say, well, I'm called to the ministry. Well, then you better walk in that direction. I knew from the time I was called to the full-time ministry. And the Bible says a guy who teaches and preaches the gospel is supposed to live by it. So I knew, well, what happens? You have all kind of people always trying to get you off the path. All kind of people trying to get you off to what they're doing. And I had to know what I was called to, you know. So you get a guy who's called to business. Well, then he needs to get over and focus into that area and find out what he needs to know and walk into that. Or this, whatever a person's doing. What do I need to be a success at whatever it might be? I need to know. Well, I needed to know what I was going to do. Number one, I knew from the time that I was born again, I was going to have a higher calling, and God was going to call me and expect more out of me than the average person. because of my place of ministry. See, do you know where you stand and what God's going to call, how God's going to judge you? See, if you ever figure none of that out, you've just been busy running around playing. See, you need to know this stuff. You need to know what you're to. What's my goal? Where am I going to? Can I get to that place? Can I go there? See, it never doubted me in my mind that I'd end up in the full-time ministry. I never tried to even go into the full-time ministry. It's one of the things, all I did was follow me what I was doing, and it just led me right in the middle of it. I never once asked anybody to minister or preach. Never one time did I ever ask. I have always had people come and ask me. Never. I don't go around and ask. I never did. From the time of beginning and I started out. When I started out, there's these people, they felt called to ministry. And they're always trying to run around, trying to find some place to minister, trying to find some place to preach. I never did it. I thought, if God can't make this thing work, I ain't going to be doing it. Kenneth Hagin said, if you got a gift, people know it. Telling people you got a gift don't amount to a hill of beans. Let's see it. You know? We have taught Christianity today, and see, many people, they never relied on God. When I first started off, first church that I went to, never asked one time to minister in that church, but the pastor came to me in numbers of times, just coming in different things of ministry. He wanted to ask me to come and ask me. I never once ever said a thing in the church that I wanted to do. I never said anything. Never said nothing about it. I don't go chase around to do it. I don't have to. I'll tell you, you either got something or you don't. Hallelujah. Praise God. But see, you have to know that. But see, it's directions, it's decisions you make, and God works in those things. See, some people are just running around trying to make a way all the time and are trying to do that. We're not trying to do that. See, people did it. I found out, you know, really, this is good wisdom, folks. This is wisdom. I learned that at H.B. Reese Candy Company. And once I learned about my job, I started doing my job when I was there. And you know what? I didn't have to chase around for promotion. They always came to me and promoted me. You know what God told me? How to make right decisions. Be a good worker. Don't go around complaining about the company all the time, running your blab mouth to other people. Don't understand this. They find out about it. Oh, yeah, they do. They'll hear. People will make sure that they tell. Oh yeah. And the blab mouths don't ever get nowhere and just complain more and more and more. This company won't do nothing for me. I wouldn't either, dear Lord. But I learned. You turn around and you do your job and you be good at your job. And whatever, I learned just to do what God told me to do. I learned to be content in the position that I was in. I learned to be content in that position. I learned to do this as the fact, if this is just where I'm at, then this is just where I'm at. If this is what God wants me to do, I will obey and do anything to please Him. Because it doesn't change. See, when you start looking at your employer as whether you have to have him or the money and that kind of stuff, well, he's your God now. That employer is your God. That's your God. No, my God has to, if I'm doing what's right, He has to take care of me. He has a responsibility. Or if he don't, then I go to work for somebody else. I'm going to go to work for the guy that pays. God pays. Hallelujah. And to find that out, that he can take care of you, he can look after you. There's nothing more satisfying to know that I am not tied to what everybody else is doing. I'm in this world and things are going on, but God can take care of me here in the middle of this. This is one thing, as I've grown and look into the future, seeing how things are out here, I ain't got no fear, no worry. I ain't concerned about none of it. I'm not afraid of any of it. Man, I will tell you what, I didn't live like that years ago. It is wonderful. To me, the most wonderful thing is in these last days to walk in peace and rest. And I lay my head down at night. I don't pray worrying about whatever's going to happen. Well, the president now has the virus. What's going to happen? You know, what happened? The stock market drops because the president. You know, the stock market has got to be nothing but a bunch of, you know, people just, you know, they ain't got to do with science or anybody smart. It's run by people's emotions. That's why you can do it. Mike said, if you don't invest, you pray and know what God's saying to you, because you can't. I mean, there's nuts out here. It's just crazy going on. And you have to know that. In the middle of all this stuff where you have to walk, you can't look in the natural to see where that is. You have a book that'll guide you, and you have a spirit inside of you that'll guide you, and you need to be hooked up to it. You can't just be hooked up to the book either. Do you notice Mike talking this morning? Mike talked about Scripture, but it's Scripture the Holy Ghost inspired him to. It was both. It wasn't me picking out of my stupid little promise box. Well, I just really like this one. Well, what's the Holy Ghost saying? Find that one, it'll pay off. You might like your Scripture and end up on the bottom of the heap. I like this one. No, what's the Holy Ghost saying? Find out what God's saying. God will talk the Bible to you. Hallelujah. And what you need right now to make you a success. You want to listen. That's wisdom, folks. And really, Mike was talking wisdom this morning. It wasn't his stuff. It's what God showed him in the time that he's in and he's going through. And God's revealing things to him from the Scripture. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Ghost. He takes what belongs to Jesus, who is the Word of God, and reveals it to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What you need to do is hear from heaven, right? And you know where heaven's at? It ain't a place way out there for you. Heaven is in you. Glory to God. You got heaven in you. People are trying to go to heaven. Well, too late. It's already in head. Come and visit me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to read a place. We want to read some things that we read about in Scripture. Because, you know, in teaching, we teach, you know, sometimes when we teach on like, say, a part of a thing, and lots of times we do. And I think sometimes, especially, we need to know is in the church. One of the things that you need to be very careful of is how much you listen just over on the side of teaching. Say, like where people do more from the, you know, like do these big meetings and that stuff. Like say, if you go to a crusade, number one, see, you're not going to live a very successful Christian life listening to crusade stuff all the time. You're not going to live very successful because you're going to hear a small part of things said concerning teaching because of what God uses that individual just for that specific time to do a certain thing. But there's a lot they leave out. It's like Kenneth Hagin, and I've sat under Kenneth Hagin, and Kenneth Hagin talked to ministers, and he said about in the churches. See, it's in the churches, the greatest really failure has been in the body of Christ is the local church. The local church has been the biggest failure, and especially among the so-called charismatics and spirit-filled people, because they've tried to run them like crusades. They've tried to run their church from the standpoint, like a seminar and like a thing. They don't cover subjects. They don't sit down because, see, people love to go to the crusade. See, the crusade is where you get all excited and want to jump the chair, and then you go home and the next day and you find out the devil knocks on your door and you're right back to where you were. Because why? There's things you didn't find out. The things they told you there, they're there for a purpose. It's a part of a thing, but it's not the whole thing. Now I want to show you, the Lord told me to use this morning. I wasn't going to go into this, but this morning he was talking to me, well, and yesterday, but this morning specifically. In the fourth chapter of Proverbs, let's go there. Now look, this is a book of wisdom. We got to decide, is this God's word speaking or is this just, you know, this just some good ideas? Well, this I believe is some good things. In Proverbs, I'm going to read scriptures that you guys have heard. You've heard me teach on it and use it, especially when you're teaching on healing. But I want to show you something because, see, we under teaching sometimes, and what they do, it's not wrong, we take maybe a certain group of scriptures and we may emphasize those scriptures. But you need to understand this. You need to read the Word of God for yourself. And we always can't teach everything about it, but I want you to look at something this morning in the areas. And this is in Proverbs, the fourth chapter, verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings." Now, we need to understand this. If you read from Proverbs in the beginning, you know that this is it. Like we say, well, now this is God speaking. Yes, but we understand this. This is Solomon talking, writing this. And Solomon says to his son, pay attention to what I'm telling you. Pay attention. Now Solomon is going to talk about wisdom he learned from God. But this is Solomon doing the speaking here. And he says, pay attention. He said, incline your ears to my saying. Why? Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You see, and one thing you see is Mike emphasized this morning, he talked about what was down inside of him. What's in your heart. What's in your heart. Now, it's not your heart, it ain't your physical heart. You can't no more believe with your physical heart than you can believe with your physical toenail. You know, it's your inner man. It's the core of what we are. That's your human spirit. Why? That's where faith comes from. Faith is of the heart. So when the Bible's going to always point to you, you can believe God in your mind all you want, but that don't change nothing. Might make you feel good, but it ain't going to get you anything. What produces is what comes from the heart of the individual. So, he says, keep them in the midst of your heart. In other words, these words that I'm speaking to you, you need to keep them in the midst of your heart. The words. Now, he says, keep these words that I'm going to talk to you in the midst of your heart. Now listen to what he says. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. These words that I'm talking to you, he said, he tells us the benefit of these words. The benefit of these words are that these words are health to all your flesh. They're life to you. They're life. They bring life and they bring health to your flesh. That's what these words do. These words will do this. So he's instructing us. Now what he said, now listen to what he says. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart. Why? For out of it, or out of your heart, springs the issues of life, or some translations say source of life. Your heart is the source of your life. Your heart is. Your spirit. Remember, we as believers, the Holy Spirit's dwelling in us. The source of life is in the inside of us, our human spirit. And see, your human spirit is how your source of life comes. You can have the Holy Ghost on you and never hook up with Him or let Him manifest out of your spirit, and you don't have His life working through you, even though it's there. It's there. You see, you keep your heart. The biggest thing is to keep your heart. Now, because the sources of life, he said, they spring out of there. Now listen, now he's going to tell you and give the information of the words you're supposed to keep. See, normally, do you hear people teach this part? No, they always stop there. Say, see, God's word is the source of life. Get into God's word. Well, listen what he's going to say. Listen what he says. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. See, don't get over in that. Why? Because those words from your deceitful mouth will get into your heart, and your heart will become deceitful. Don't do that. Now, he used the word there, and he says deceitful. One of the translations, that is devious. Oh, my God, do we have devious people today? See, you need to understand, this is why people's hearts get to be the way they are. See, your heart's designed to bring life to you, but you can make it your killer. Many people do. Many Christians make their heart their killer. Their heart's their killer. Why? They're talking wrong stuff. They're out gossiping, doing all kinds of stuff. Listen to this. What are you supposed to do? He says, and put perverse lips far from you. Put those things, why, far from you. Why, if you don't, talking the wrong things gets into your heart. And your heart becomes, after a while, your heart is talking. Your heart is. And when your heart's talking that thing, you're putting death out that's going to manifest itself. I've had people already come along to me and say, I don't know why this or that happens to me. And I gotta bite my lip. I could say, man, I knew that was coming years ago. I knew that was happening. Been listening to you talk. Been listening to your blab mouth. Heard you say. You got to learn to bite your lip. You can't say that. As a minister, what you got to do is give the opportunity. If you can't minister to them, maybe you can help if they'll listen to some teaching. But we understand. See, we're talking about health. You can turn around and say, I believe the word of God. But if you don't control your mouth, you ain't going to have life and health. It ain't coming. Now listen to what he says. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your feet from evil. In other words, he's talking here about your walk in life. There's a walk to walk and you keep it on the straight. There's always going to be things that want to turn you to the side. There's people will always come along. Well, this is all right and that's all right. People, once you get you off the path, you've got to keep your eyes on the path. You got to. I'm just going to tell you this straight out. The devil cannot get a stronghold in you if you follow this. And if the devil gets a stronghold on you, it's because you broke this somewhere. You broke this somewhere and you opened a door. And that must be stopped. You got to stop it. See, staying on a path, staying before you. We have a hard do that, timed with that today, because see, we live in a society that is always shifting, always turning, always got a new something or other and thing. And Christianity is on the top of the list for having them, you know. Always got a new something or other. And people love it. And they love when the ministry, you know, they just put their new and latest book out. And there's been 2,700 of them printed years ago that are better than any one they put out today. But people, well, I got this new revelation. When a guy tells me he got a new revelation, he's probably outside the Bible or he's lying, one of the two. There's ministers literally tell you got a new revelation of things, and they'll put out a book and it's basically a new cover on the stuff that they've already put out in other books, and they'll say, boy, we got this new one and you just really need to get it. And it ain't nothing. They lie about it. Don't follow liars. Don't give them your money. They ain't new revelations. Most people don't need one new revelation. They ain't lived, you know, 25% of what they were already told. They don't need another one. You don't need a new revelation. You know, I just go along with what they say. If you haven't listened to what we already taught, ain't no point telling you something new. But see, we need to know this. These are basic things that we talked about. See, here's one thing. There is this side. The word of God is your health, is health and life. But if you don't control your mouth, it ain't going to work. See, you can't be... You remember this guy named James, and he talked about the guy that talks his mouth? The guy with a double tongue who's saying one thing over here? This is the dude. Where did he get that stuff from? Where did he get those ideas from? He didn't need a new revelation. He'd already been in the one that nobody else ever reads. All they read is those scriptures. Oh yeah, God's word is health and life. Yeah, I'm believing for health and life. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm just believing God to heal me. And then walking around talking a bunch of perverse stuff. See, we got to pay attention. And so, see, this is wisdom. This is the wisdom. Is keeping ourselves. Because really, our mouth, what is it? Where's life and death at? In the power of the tongue. Those who eat it, who love it, will what? Eat its fruit. Eat what? The fruit of what? Well, whether it's life or death, you're going to eat the fruit of what you're talking. I don't care how much you want healing. You got a perverse mouth. You got a devious mouth. You're going to eat death. I don't care how much you say you believe. See, we need to, this is wisdom. In other words, wisdom is about guarding our mouth. That's one of the things of wisdom, is learning wisdom. We learn the word of God, learn to speak the word of God. I don't know why it is, but it's within the tendency of the natural human to want to talk junk and want to, you know, is sort of led toward the negative. And you got to deal. That's why you can't follow your flesh about it and that stuff. You can't get over into those things. I don't, you know, it's people listen to too much and listen to too many things. You know, we have so much false prophecy said today. People are listening to and stuff and things. You know what? False prophecy is founded in unbelief. It's founded on men speaking and saying things that God didn't say. Can I walk around and talk that and end up where I want to be? I don't care how much we like it, it sounds good. See, I learned that those things a long time ago. This is why you want to know. Sometimes things are said, I'm not sure. You know what? I don't go around blabbing it till I know it. Is God speaking that? If I get a check in my spirit, I learn to follow that. I've had more things and stuff people said lately. Well, they prophesied God said this or God said that, or they had a dream or something. Yeah, they had a dream or something, or saying things. And I know. Because why? One thing is I can measure about. It's like Mike said. You know, Mike's heading in a direction, and what is he doing? God's giving him scriptures to keep him in line. And so he could measure whatever's going on by those things that are being said. See, I know things God has said to me. When a man speaks something and it's out of line of that, I can stop. I measure it against what God's shown me. The Lord has spoken to me things about the future and things about coming, things that are happening. I measure things again to. Over the years, people have come. We're walking in the days God showed me back in the 1980s, and we're walking in it today. And if you listen to a lot of these ministers out here, they have a different path they were saying was coming. Now, it isn't that the Holy Ghost. Thank God I had a teacher who taught me to listen on the inside. It ain't cause Ed is smart. It's I've learned. Kenneth Hagin said this, if you get a check in your spirit, don't go. Don't move beyond that. And I learned, if something don't seem right, stop. Quit going with the crowd. Good God, get cost. I've heard people say prophecies. I would love to have said, boy, let's have that. And it would have been a good one to have. But I just knew in the inside, something's wrong. Something's wrong. You know, as Kenneth Hagin talked about speaking in the word of knowledge, and he said most ministers are operating in familiar spirits. He said most. And he's talking, now that ain't the Methodists and the Presbyterians. They don't operate in it. That's the spirit-filled people. That's why you need to know your own spirit. You can't, we're not just following after a prophet. You gotta know in your spirit is God saying that. There's things and prophecies that were given by Kenneth Hagin. You know, I never did much until I got before the Lord. And time and time again, I'd get before the Lord and read those prophecies and say, Lord, is this so? You're speaking this. Is this for sure so? If this is for sure, no. Till I get it in me that it's the right thing, then I'll take that thing to the bank and we'll have a time with it. But see, people just run off. They don't, no spirituality to it or not. Somebody says something they like to hear. See, we need, that's unwise. You can't do that and look straight ahead and keep your feet in line. You gotta do it. We're too fast. We got American, you know, speed. Let's go up to the drive-in, get the food and get out of there. Let's do this fast. Let's do that. It's in the church. It's the culture of America. It's in the church. It's identical. We don't know a thing about waiting on God. We don't know a thing about stepping, not moving till we're actually in faith. We just think because we made a good confession, it's going to come to pass. And we've made the good confession for 20 years and it ain't worked yet. But we just keep doing it, playing this religious game, not stopping and saying, you know, to find out, knowing that I'm in the position, I'm ready to release my faith. Now see, I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. See, I'm not quick to just up pray about things. Everybody just, well, let's just hurry up, pray, hurry up, pray. Let's do this, let's do that, let's get this, let's get that. You know? No, I want to know because why? If it's in my heart, I can produce that thing. I can produce what I want. If it ain't in your heart, you can go through all the motions you want. And if you've been talking junk, you can have something in your heart, but you've been saying all kind of other stuff and talking things, your heart won't produce what you want. Do you know your own heart can go against you? That's why your conscience bothers you. Because your heart is saying, you knucklehead, you weren't supposed to do that. And if you've never had that happen, you're already dead. We ought to bury you now. Everybody's had that. Where your heart has told you. Your heart has said, we ain't going that way. I watch people, their heart is condemning them for stuff, and they're trying to use it, they're trying to get faith, and they're talking and talking and talking, and their heart ain't in it at all. Because their heart's telling them, you're out of line, you need to get in line. That's why these books so dangerous and this stuff these guys preaching out here, God, you don't have to repent. You don't have to ask forgiveness. That stuff is evil, wicked, and dangerous. And loads of the Christian world of spirit-filled people have bought into it. Loads of them have bought into it. And it only leads to death. Hallelujah. I don't need to cause me any more trouble. I've done enough of that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me also read you something here. I want to look in the fifth chapter. In the opening of the fifth chapter, you found out here, and this is one of the things we want to look at. We're going to find out because the Lord spoke to me this morning. He specifically spoke to me about this. But we're dealing with it. People want to know why things happen. Why, you know, it's America, the trouble we're in. We need to understand the fifth chapter opens up and it's dealing with immorality. Solomon's speaking like a man going after a woman who's trying to tempt him, going after it. And it deals with, the basis of it is immorality. Now, I want you to see this. I was going to start at verse 7. We can't read through the whole thing. You can in the beginning. You read the first 6 verses. Listen to what it says. It says, "Sir, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth." Another, I'm telling, this is wisdom coming. This is wisdom that God gave him. You know, this guy ended up departing from these words himself. Ended up in a mess. Going after women. Ended up in a mess. Yet he was given the wisdom not to, and he gave people wisdom. You know what? I don't care if Solomon messed up. His words were right. And if I listen to his words, I don't end up with the problems he got into. His words are right. Now, he says, don't depart from the words of my mouth. He says, remove your way far from her. In other words, this immoral woman, move yourself away. So let's just put it this way, immorality. Move far away from immorality and do not go near the door of her house. Don't go near the door of immorality, the place of immorality. Don't ever go there. Don't do it. He says here, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. You're going to give, in other words, you're going to open the door. The devil's going to have you if you go into that place. Don't go to that place. Stay away from immoral conduct. See, today the church is open to immoral conduct. The church, you know, you can be any kind of pervert, weirdo, or anything. You can be in a church. Church don't deal with people with from the standpoint of whether it's any kinds of sexual immorality, whether, you know, it's, any kind of fornication or anything of it is, adultery or anything. They don't go with that. Homosexuality or anything. Nothing. None of that stuff matters anymore. That's not important. Well, listen, what happens? Lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of the foreigner. What's happened to America? Look at the deficits that we have from trade in our country. Go back to the 1960s when we went to open the door to the sexual revolution and see what happened to the United States. We were the powerhouse in sending products out. Now we're buying everybody else's. See, when people say, well, why do these things happen? Oh, it's our trade policies, it's this, it's that. No, it isn't. It's sexual immorality in a nation. This is the wisdom of God. Well, who do you think's right on the subject? Oh, we think some legislation's going to fix this stuff. No, it ain't. That isn't what fixes things. You got to deal with what the problem is. We find out immorality is the thief of wealth. Well, we don't look at that. Well, if you just give, you know, if you just give God, you'll just be blessed. And that's, we don't deal with the things of people doing immorality. And at the same time, you can throw your bucks into whatever you want, but the devil's going to own you. I mean, you know what? I believe it's true. See, this is one of the things that we need in the church world, in the churches, and especially the churches and pastors. They need to start teaching these things. We have too much one-sided teaching. Just give side, give side, give money side, give money side. That's not the only side. You know, we as America, just think, look at the problems we've got into. Have we been a giving nation? We sure have. We give more than any nation in the earth. Any disasters and things to other countries, we're in the middle of it. Well, how did we end up in this mess? You can give everything you got away and you're going to live immoral. It ain't going to work. But see, these things are, this wisdom isn't taught. This wisdom isn't, you know, this isn't wisdom anymore. You know, this isn't wise. This is, we have to have freedom. You know, you need to have freedom to get poor. That's right. The freedom of the world will lead you to poverty. There ain't enough money to cover this stuff. This is just good wisdom. In verse 11 he said, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. See, you can go too far. You can go too far in this. And see, we as a nation, we've seen where they've gone too far. So like the Lord spoke to me this morning, there's people in the church world have gone too far. They have turned from Him and He's going to quit listening to them. They've gone too far. And you know what has going to happen to them? They're going to mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. A mourning ain't going to do them no good. You can go too far. See, these are warnings, and these warnings should have been put out a long time ago. Now, see, these aren't pew jumpers. You know, when's the last time you were at a convention and they did this? But I'm going to tell you what. Convention ministry is not like the church is supposed to minister. People don't grow up in conventions. They'll grow up in the church. And the whole thing is we have too many people spend all their time listening to people, convention preachers and everything else on TV, and they're not growing up. They're not sitting and telling them why the healing don't work, you know? They go to the convention, they'll tell you enough on one side, they're trying to get a percentage of them healed, they don't have a short time to do it. So they're trying to work to get that. God's working trying to do that. But there's people who have troubles and problems. Brother Hagin told us, he knew about going and doing conventions and stuff. And he'd tell you, he said, conventions, you know, we have our object is to get as many people healed as we can. But he said, we don't deal with causes. You ain't got time to do it. Because number one, you can't get people to stop and stay that long. That's why people who don't go to church will never grow up, and many people who go to church will never grow up, because the church won't preach it. We need to hear it. We need to know. When somebody comes along and says to me, well, I don't understand why I got this problem. Well, number one, let me talk to you a while and I have to listen to you a while and I'll tell you why you got the problem. Because I done read the Bible and I know what the Bible says and why problems exist and why stuff. So there's things in there we have to examine and look at. But I found this out. That isn't what people want to examine and look at. Well, I just want, you know, it's like here's the average man pastor today from a full gospel church. You just need to believe God. And he's never told him. He's told him, so the person's in their mind thinking, I've been confessing the word and I've been saying the word. But they're living in sin. They're doing things against the wisdom of God. And they're expecting that thing to work just because they're doing one part of it. They're doing a tenth of what they're supposed to do, and they've only ever been told a tenth. It's all they've been told. They've been told there's more, hold it, there's more to this than just, you know, there's more to prosperity than putting money in an offering plate. And if you ain't doing those other parts, forget it! It ain't gonna work! You can't just take one part and that's gonna make it all work, but that's what they've done. And the ministers have done it. The Lord told me in 2014. He said, they don't tell you the other part because it will hurt their offerings too. He said, many have just the interest of getting money out of the people. And they know what to say to make that happen. And theirs is, you just need to give more. If you're not walking right, you can give more all you want. And ain't no more showing up. See, to me, that is no different than stealing from a person. I can't do that to you. I ain't gonna lie to you. Cause you know what that makes me? A thief and a liar, and all liars are gonna be in the lake of fire. My God, hell's gonna be full of preachers. Hopefully they repent before that happens. Well, I'm telling you, people just lie and lie. I can't lie to you. I'm doing things right. I want you blessed. I want the blessing of God. I want you to have more than enough. Hallelujah. And so I want you to understand this. Because when this week the Lord spoke to me about, see, we're at the time right now to the things of the Spirit. He spoke to me concerning, because see, You'll find in the words in Proverbs, Proverbs uses a lot of examples of like things from natural things, and it'll do a comparison. It's like when Jesus went and told his parables, he would use a parable. He'd take a natural example, like he took seeds and how seeds are planted. See, that's the way the kingdom operates. And see, the wisdom is this. That's the way it operates. The seeds that are planted are coming up. You know, the writing to the Christian, this wasn't to the world. It was to the Christian that whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow the flesh, you reap corruption. You need to understand. See, I learned from Kenneth Hagin, and you know, and I've studied it in the Bible. You know, just because you go out here and you do, you know, maybe have done right things and walk out, but you sow to the flesh. You can ask God to forgive you, but that don't mean those seeds are going away. Those seeds are planted. In the natural out here, you just can't make seeds disappear. You know, see, that's why you had to be born again. You can't have the same spirit because the seeds of the old nature would have to come up. And you had to be born again. You had to be able to get rid of those seeds. And you as a Christian, you can't be dumping wrong seeds and just say, well, I'm sorry. You go ask a guy that was a Christian and he committed a murder and he's in jail. What happened to the seeds? I thought you asked forgiveness. Really, the church thinks so. I know that woman down in Texas there some years ago. And you know, she was in for murder. She murdered a man and a woman. And they thought because she was a Christian and she asked God to forgive us, all these Christians thinking that they ought to leave her out in jail. And she was set for the death penalty. And the governor of Texas says, no, she gets the death penalty. Why? She reaped what she sowed. She reaped what she sowed. These are things we want to hear. Because we have all this flaky Christian 90 days. There's no reason for you to live right if you can live like hell and just throw a God forgive me out there and everything turns out okay. No, it won't. And don't you believe that. And I've heard many big name preachers talk along those lines like that, and they're out of line. You can't get over it. We have no fear that anything bad will happen. So you do evil. You take a child and they raise that child and make them think no evil is going to come to another. Watch what they do. That's what they've raised in the church world. We've raised heathens in the church world. With no fear that there's any, you know, you're not going to get in any trouble for doing evil. You know, you're just going to, well, just ask God to forgive. Do things to other people. Never make it right. Christian, call yourself Christian businessman. Cheat people out of money and say, well, I'm just sorry. And they don't ever repay. They don't ever fix things up. I said, I'm sorry. You're supposed to forgive me and not get anything back and walk away from it. I'm going to tell you what. God's going to deal with that sucker and he may not end up in heaven. We have no fear. Christians have no fear. The Bible says in the New Testament, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. It wasn't talking to sinners. It was written to a church. It was written to a church. See, we're talking about wisdom. Wisdom, true wisdom keeps me on the straight and narrow. True wisdom keeps me walking right and living right. That's what true wisdom does. True wisdom is good for me. True wisdom never hurts me. It's always there to help me. It's to keep Ed out of trouble. Ed needs to stay out of trouble. Ed can get in trouble. Sow to the flesh, reap corruption. See, we need to be careful in these things of what we sow, what we say. See, we talk about we sow in words, we're sowing, we're doing our walk in life, the things we do. We need to be very careful in these areas. Why? Because we're looking for the blessing, but we can't do things that hinder the blessing. You can't do them. Now, I want to go over to six. Here's some practical things about. Now, here's things that people don't listen to, but yet it's the wisdom of God. Because, see, we know better today. And I've known people get into this and get into these problems down here because, see, they don't count. These things don't count for them. But understand, God gives us wisdom in doing things. And now, here he goes in chapter 6. Chapter 6 says, my son, if you become surety to your friend, if you have shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger. Now, the surety, it tells us here, surety means to guarantee. Or like say with collateral or something, whatever you do, whether it's money or collateral, you give a guarantee. In other words, you have a friend and he's going to do something, you become his collateral, or you become whatever. In other words, we could say maybe it's like getting someone to, you know, somebody out here is borrowing money and they can't get it, and they come and say to you, you know, would you co-sign on a loan for me? Would you do this for me? Now, let's listen what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Now, I wonder if this is true or not, because people bypass this stuff all the time. They bypass it all the time. And then problems come, and they have enough nerve to go complain about other person or the person, when they're really the ones that's a problem. Because it says, you are snared by your words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. See, you need to understand this. You become surety to somebody else's whatever their a purchase or whether it's a loan or whatever it is concerning payment or however it is. You sign for it. You need to understand you are now responsible for it. You are. You are. You're responsible. Understand, let me tell you about the American culture. You co-sign on a loan. And the person, let's say the person does pay, but they miss payments and they're doing all of this back and forth. Do you know that goes on your credit score? That goes on yours. What they don't do right goes on yours, and then you go to borrow money. You pay more for it. You go to do something and your credit isn't as good because you signed for theirs. See, if you do this, you need to understand that. You are the main place that they're going to go to because they got. Any credit company is not going to chase after them. Why chase after them? You're the guy that had the good credit to be able to pay. If they quit paying, they're going to go directly to you because you are the one that says you have the money. They're going to you. So you do it for your kid. They're going to you. Remember, I've seen parents end up in big financial messes, turn around, co-signing kids' loans, and the kids don't pay them, and the parents never didn't have the money. You can have good credit, but you really don't have the money to pay off a loan. If you can't afford to lose the money, why throw it out there? The Bible has an absolutely wonderful thing dealing with it. Don't do it! Just that simple! Why? You want to ruin... I've seen more family relationships ruined over this. Friendships ruined over this stuff. Somebody that don't have money, you don't sign the tab. There's a reason they need a co-signer. You know why they need a co-signer? Because they can't take care of it. That's why they need a co-signer. They haven't paid bills, so they haven't done things, you know. Use and wisdom. I've seen people do this. God buys a car. Somebody signs the loan on. But you know what? You know who the car belongs to? The person on the title. I don't care. You pay the debt and they keep the car. Oh yeah, you're responsible for the debt, but you can't have the car. The car's in their name. You can't have it. Pennsylvania state law, that car don't belong to you. It's theirs. It ain't in my name. I ain't signing. It's in my name. If I'm paying, this boy's having. You see, these are things of wisdom to tell people. See, Christians are like this. We're so loving. And it isn't loving, it's fleshly. If the Bible says something, it shouldn't matter what I think about it. This means this. I'm not looking straight ahead. I don't watch the path I walk. I don't have to. I'm doing what I want to do. Because I'm so loving, and I want to, yeah. See, if you sign for somebody and they don't pay and you end up in trouble over it, don't go complaining about them. You go to God and ask God to forgive you and help you out of your stupidity. that you committed. Don't go running around about them. You're the one with the word. See, we don't deal with these things. Because see, I see it all the time. I have seen stuff and get so messed up in these kind of things that people do. People go into business with somebody and go in partners on a business and only one partner got money. That never works. Because only one person ends up paying. Things go wrong. The dummy that made somebody who couldn't pay their way be a partner is a good sign of stupidity. See, God's trying to protect us. God does everything He can to try to protect people. But people do whatever they can to destroy themselves. Even Christians. Do what they can. They don't listen. Wisdom comes and says, don't do that. Don't do it. You shouldn't be doing that. If I had how many times I have had people tell them they shouldn't be doing a certain thing. And they went and did it anyway. And then ended up in big messes down the road. They end up in messes. And they talk about a mess. They created that. You keep your eyes straight ahead. You know what? It ain't always easy to keep your eyes straight ahead. Sometimes you hate to see what's going to happen to people. But you got to keep your eyes straight ahead. You got to let them go. You got to do that. You got to learn to do that. Number one, right now, God has had a hard time trying to deal with people because Christians keep trying to bail everybody out where they don't have to turn to God. Christians are trying to fix everything. Christians don't want any kind of problems. I'm sorry, there's trouble. I have to learn how to walk through trouble and not get moved off the word, because if I want to benefit people, I will do it by following God. Then I can benefit others. But if my faith ain't working, who am I going to benefit? Who am I going to benefit when my faith don't work? Who am I benefiting if I'm in the same mess they're in? Who am I benefiting? See, I want to help people. And there's one way, and I found out it's hard to do sometimes. To help people, you just got to sometimes just keep walking down that same path. You say, man, I'd just like to do something about that. But you just got to keep walking. Say, here, this is what the Bible says. It's telling people the truth. Don't get yourself in trouble. Now, there's people who get mad at you because you don't, do well. If you're a real friend, you would do this. Well, this is talking about friends. Just take them over here and say, would you read this, please? Christian friend. And I'll find out if you are a real friend, if you're a friend of God. We're going to find out who you're friends with. And most of the time you'll find out they ain't been a friend of God. Because they don't like what God says about the thing. That ain't it. Don't tell me what God said. Number one, God wants you to prosper. And you can help other people prosper. It's like I just said to you, if you can't afford to lose the money, don't get in the thing. You can't afford to lose it, don't do it. If you're going to do it, you might lose it. And you have to go with that with the person. That's what you have to decide. Most of the time, people who sign notes can't afford to lose it. Most of the time, majority of the time, the person who signs a note can't afford to lose it. And that's sad. That's sad. Because what happens, they're losing money, they end up, their credit and stuff gets messed up and everything else. So don't do that. See, my credit, if I'm going to mess up my credit, I'm going to do it. I ain't going to give it to somebody else to do it. I mean, that'd be foolish. So keep yourself in thought in those things. Follow the Bible. The Bible says don't do it. I mean, you think, you say, well, yeah, we'll bypass that one. There's people, and I said I've been in situations where we just gave money, And I felt to give them money and just give them money. But I ain't taking loans out and stuff and people paying back and doing things like that. You work yours out like I work mine out. I got my credit rating because of me doing what was right. And people have to learn to do that. I started off at the bottom. You have to start out and work through things. This isn't a McDonald's thing, but we want to make everything a McDonald's thing. So hurry up, get this stuff right away, and we do it. And things don't work out. Let's follow the Word of God. Now I want to read on to this because we want to find out something. This is about prosperity. because of dealing with prosperity. Because see, this is one thing, there's a lot of just natural things of wisdom that we can learn here in this stuff, is if the church learns this, is like, now just think about this. Here's Solomon, he's going to give some advice. He says this, he just talked about signing notes or doing something or in some way guaranteeing somebody on something. Now he said, get yourself out of this. And in other words, if you go on to read it, he said, you know, take the words right for, he said, if you come into the hand of your friend, go and humble yourself, he said in verse 3, and plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. In other words, you know, you stay on this thing, making sure they pay and they do their things. You stay after this thing, you got yourself in trouble doing this. You make sure. You don't leave it to them whether or not they're going to do right. This is what most people would do. Well, I don't want to say, they might get offended. No, when it's dealing with my money, I'm going to be in their face. Did you make the payment? You better have made the payment. I may be your friend, but you ain't mine if you didn't. And you didn't tell me about it. You ain't my friend. You ain't friendly. See, dealing with those things. See, people don't, these are things that, you know, we shouldn't be talking about this at church. We should talk about Jesus loves everybody and it's all going to work out. But you can understand why our nation's in the trouble it is. You can understand. I don't say these people say, why are things like they are? Because God ain't in the church anymore. People don't even know what God says about things. And they have their own ideas about love and what you do and how you handle things. God tells us concerning things of money. Now listen to what he says here. He says now he says here, listen to this. Go to the ant, you sluggard. You tell the guy that can't get the money, go to the ant, you sluggard. What does he say? Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, or that'd be actually literally leader, overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, or oh sluggard? When will you rise from the sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. In other words, this is talking about working. A diligent working. Working. Working, working. You see, that might seem pretty common to us, but have you noticed it ain't common? You know, I was talking to Steve here, who has the building here, and Steve said to me, he said about, you know, he's really been busy because of things of renting things out because of the restaurants and stuff and people tents. He said, really been busy. He said, but I could have done a whole lot more, but he said, you can't hire people and get people to work. See, they talk about how many people are unemployed today. That's the biggest laugh in the world. That's the biggest laugh in the world. Well, the government's paying people more money. He said, I'm paying people $17 an hour to deliver chairs. And he said, I still can't get people. Delivering tables and chairs, $17 an hour. And he said, I could keep them busy all the time. I've been making money. But he said, you can't get people. You see, we have a lot of sluggards. We have a sluggard nation. What does that lead to? Poverty! Our Democrats and Republicans are making decisions that are leading us to poverty. But the church loves it. The church, the giveaway church. The giveaway, 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 giveaway. You know why? Because we're so darn loving. You can get unemployment now, earning more money than you did when you worked, and you can still go to a place and they'll give you food. Yeah. Go and collect food. You already got, you're living better. These people stay on this thing. Some of them will be making $52,000 a year in unemployment. Plus, they can go get free food. Oh, aren't we loving? No, we're headed to poverty. We're headed to poverty. Insanity. And the church is behind a lot of it. Oh, boy, they're the giving. Boy, we just got to give more and give more and give more because all these poor hurting people. Jobs out here and we don't have to take them. We don't even have to take them. Why? Because it pays not to. Pays not to. We don't check. We don't look at anything. We're building a nation of sluggards. Wanting to succeed. There's people in Washington. They want to work week to 35 hours a week. They want it down to 35 hours a week. You make the same amount of money, you work 35 hours. You're not going anywhere. Like a nation will fall apart. A nation can't keep going doing that. You can't keep paying people for not working. I'm going to tell you, if I was employer, I'd be finding ways to buy robots that would work and do it, and I would replace every person. Because if you want to succeed, you can't succeed with people today in their thinking. You can't succeed. This is why there needs to be a move of God. It's become shameless today, the things that are going on. The things that are happening, they can't keep going in the direction that they're going. We can't keep heading the way we are as a nation. We can't do it. And we need to see that. We need to see it and understand. Most of our Democrats and Republicans don't see it. They don't see it. Man, the Republicans, I don't believe they see what's coming. They think we can just hand out some more money. Let's make another deal. You know, we don't want to give $2 trillion. We just want to give a little over $1 trillion away. Like, where's this coming from? Where's this going to come from? What, can we just throw this out here and we'll never have to pay it back? And they're counting on people like you and I that don't mind working. But you understand this, we're becoming a minority. It's a minority of people. How much can you tax us? And you're going to run out of money. And Republicans are negotiating to do this. And we're calling them the conservatives. Gee, that's conservative? Conservative what? I mean, it's like, conservative. Get them printing presses rolling. Woo-wee! The money comes, you better hang on to it. But that'll probably be worth about $7 after it shows up. You might buy a Coke and a hamburger. With the $1,200, it'll come. I just ain't gonna be worth spent. I'm gonna keep sending it out there and sending it out. Oh, this really cracks me up. They keep, you know, one of the biggest lies you've ever had in the face of the earth. The government keeps putting out the reports on inflation is down. Has anybody ever bought anything lately? Do you know how they do it? How they show inflation's down? They did this in George Bush's administration. This is so that we could have a fake economy. And that's what it is. Food is not considered in inflation. I don't care if we pay $100 for a loaf of bread. It's not considered. So there's no inflation going on. Fuel and stuff is not over in that area. They took all these things and they're out of there. The things that drove inflation, that meant it was cost you more money. I mean, if anybody ever see, you go to the store, you pay more, a lot more grocery stores you're paying for stuff, a lot more than what you did before. But they tell you, we weren't having inflation. See, if you act like it isn't there, then it's not there. So then what we'll do, we'll loan you worthless dollars. How about that? Then you can pay for a house, maybe $30,000, $40,000 more than it's worth. That you're going to have to pay back. They say, we'll give you a low interest rate. Well, you paid $40,000 more for the home than it was worth. You lost already. You're out. You lost. And if they keep doing it that rate, your house, the money will become worth less and less. And the money that you're paying, it's a mess. It just runs a whole thing. But see, if we just fake it and act like it don't exist. But see, I don't blame them. I blame the church, because the church has done this before the world did. The church has acted like things don't exist. They act like the problems don't exist. They act like the sin don't exist. They act like, no, nothing exists anymore. The church helps it. See, when you remove wrongdoing, when you remove evil, when you remove immorality, see, we don't judge that anymore. See, let's take that over here. That's not put in the equation anymore. And now we have a Jesus, an inflated Jesus, that is worth about 2 cents. And you can't get to heaven believing on him, because he's a false Jesus. And many people are going to go to hell believing in the false Jesus and say, well, I believed on him. You didn't believe on the Bible one. Paul warned the church at Galatia about the another Christ being preached. And look what he told them. He said the people are preaching that. He said, let them be accursed. If you look up what that means, to be accursed, it's a Greek word, anathema. What it means is a person separated from God without the ability to be saved. It's a completely cursed person. They don't read that one too often in Galatians. They read other stuff. Because that's not so cute. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote ought to happen to those people. I want you to understand, we have ministers today, big name ministers, that ought to be accursed. Because they're sending people to hell, preaching another Jesus, preaching false stuff. Preaching no repentance, preaching those kind of things, preaching that evil, another Jesus. Doing that, I wonder how these people think you're going to end up in heaven doing that to other people. Going around preaching a false Christ. We ain't doing that here. God's for us, folks. God's for humanity. He didn't die. Jesus didn't die on the cross so people can just live like hell in any way they want and still get to heaven. That's not what it's about. My freedom ain't to vote. My freedom is to be free from sin, where sin doesn't dominate me anymore. I'm not ruled by sin. A man who preaches you don't have to repent is ruled by sin. He's ruled by sin. That isn't my gospel. That isn't my salvation. My salvation is from Jesus Christ. Freedom from sin. The church today said, well, I have freedom. Well, God give me the freedom to speech. Yeah. Apostle Paul had the freedom of speech. How did it turn out for him? What happened to Paul? You use your freedom to speak the gospel, and I'm going to tell you what. People are going to get after you. People ain't going to like you. Doesn't matter what the Constitution says about it. I found out there's people out here, the devil don't like it when you preach the gospel. The devil will come after you. Because what? He don't care at all about the Constitution of the United States. And did you ever notice now his followers don't either? Did you notice that? Did you notice? They don't care. But Paul warned us. He warned us how these folks were going to get. Doesn't matter if the law is on my side. The devil's a lawbreaker. I better know how to walk in my authority. And the Constitution don't give me the authority that I need. The Constitution can't give it to me. But God has given it to us. And I'm going to tell you what, if we'll follow His wisdom, we will succeed. We will have the success. You know, no matter what they did to Paul, they couldn't stop him. The devil tried all he could to keep him out of Rome. The devil tried to kill him on every step. When Paul said, no, I want to go before Caesar. And the king said, you know, if you would have just let this go, you wouldn't have had to go there. But you know what? It wasn't about... Paul was following what God was doing. Why? He's on his way to Rome to preach the gospel. He's on his way to Rome. And he got the gospel into the emperor's house. The devil tried to kill him at every step. He sent the Jews after him to kill him. They couldn't. They got him on a ship. The devil tried to kill him in the ocean. He couldn't do it. He got him up to Rome. They wanted to kill him. They couldn't do it. Ended up turning around. He got the Praetorian Guard. He got saved. The personal guard of Caesar. And what do? They turned him loose in town. They imprisoned him by making him stay in a house. And they put him in a house. And you know what he did? He had people come in and he taught him. The devil did everything. The devil tried to stop. He couldn't stop it. He was so successful when they killed him. The majority of our New Testament's in his writings. Glory to God. They couldn't stop him in death. Couldn't stop him in death. But you know what he did? He followed the word of God. He walked in wisdom. He didn't turn from the right or he didn't turn from the left. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll tell you what, I sit and read his writings today, and I've been reading them constantly since 1980 and love them as much today as I've ever loved them. Learn, get revelation from them all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because he walked and followed wisdom. Hallelujah. It ain't for Paul, just Paul, folks. Hallelujah. It's for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. God gave us these wisdom. These things won't hurt you. They won't hamper your life. They'll lead you to freedom. Now, you know, this is one thing. See, when you walk in these kinds of wisdom, though, there's people that ain't going to understand what you're doing. There's people going to look at you like you're a nut, you know, and, well, you're something wrong with you. Well, there is something wrong with you. You're not like them. You're new creations. We're not supposed to be like other people. We're not supposed to be. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. We're not supposed to be. Friendship with the world is an enemy to God. That's what the Bible says. That's New Testament. I live in the world. I don't hate the world. But you know, I just can't stand it. I mean, we got the largest church in the United States, and the pastor said some of my best friends are homosexuals. Best friends? Homosexuals? How'd your best friend get to be a homosexual? And he's your best friend. Because I can guarantee you, he's into sin up to his neck. You see, these things need to be talked and said. Because see, we live in a world, people say, oh, they're Christian. I wouldn't go to his church. I mean, Jesus Christ would have to come down to him and 10 angels and appear to me and tell me to go there. Friendship with the world. You know, I'm not friendship with the world. It's important what my friendships are. It's important what my friendships are. Now, I have a lot of acquaintances. There's people in the world. I don't hate them. I want them saved. But you're never going to hear. Some of my best friends are homosexuals. They're your best friends. Okay. I know they have no fear of the gods you serve because their God is bigger than yours. You're bowing to them. See, we're not going there, folks. Somebody has to draw a line. Somebody draws a line. I'm not against the homosexual. They're in sin. I want them saved. But they can't be my best friends. That ain't going to ever happen. That's never going to happen. Because number one, if they knew me at all, they wouldn't want to be my best friend. Because they'd know me one, I would be talking to them. Well, it is. Because it's one thing as I know. He's not honest with those people. He's not honest. If he was honest with them, they'd never say he's their best friend. I'll guarantee you. That would never happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you this morning, Lord God, of being a God of wisdom. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we've at times walked in our wisdom and walked in things, but I want to thank you, Lord God, for the light and life that you have brought to us through Jesus Christ. I want to thank you that Lord Jesus, the Word, the living Word of God has become wisdom to us. Hallelujah. Lord God, you become wisdom, you become righteousness, and you become redemption. And Lord God, you reminded me this morning that you said wisdom first. You didn't say righteousness first. And you didn't say, Lord God, you said wisdom first. Lord God, it's because of wisdom we got born again. We would have never become righteous had not your wisdom been revealed to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to thank you. Jesus, you became our wisdom. And Jesus, I want to thank you today that the great Holy Spirit lives in us and dwells in us. And that great Holy Spirit takes your wisdom and reveals it to us. And Lord God, Lord, open up soundness of the Word of God to the church today. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you raise up ministers, you raise up pastors in churches, Lord God. Lord, men and women who are fierce in their believing and their understanding of scriptures. Ones that will rise up and say what the truth is. Lord God, there's many, many, many are bound, and many are bound because they've been lied to. They have been preached false things. They have been told they're all right when they're not. And Lord God, Lord, they have been fleeced by ministers. They have fleeced the flock. They have taken the flock of cost. They've used and taken advantage of the people. And Lord God, I pray, Lord God, Lord, it's just as the prophets of old when they looked at Israel and they saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And Lord God, Jesus did when he walked the earth. He saw people as sheep without a shepherd. Lord God, we call today, there are so many, and they're your people. They've been born of the Spirit, Lord God. But they sit in places, Father God, where a mixed truth comes out, where things are so unclear. Things, Lord God, that are said. Father God, they need leaders. Those people need ones who will speak to them, Father, in the name of Jesus, where truth again will prevail in that place. Hallelujah. Lord God, that those of your flock will be strengthened and built up in the name of Jesus Christ, where they will become strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I just thank you today. Father, as we look at these things, we see in your word, Lord God, wisdom does cry out. It's been there. It's so available to us. Forgive the church, Lord God. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive the church of Jesus Christ in this nation. For, Lord God, not walking and following truth, not taking the simplicity of wisdom that has been said so easily, Lord God, from your word. Lord God, I know that my father and mother in the past walked in wisdom, Lord God, that was considered commonplace in those times concerning the Bible. But Lord God, that men today don't follow, and they talk about having such great revelations. Lord God, they do not have revelation. They don't have revelation of Scripture. And Lord God, again, we need to come back to the simplicity of revelation, Lord God, where again you can move by your glory and power. And Father, you know our desire here. You have spoke to me about it. You have shown me, Lord God, and our great desire here, Lord God, and our hunger to follow you. Lord God, we want the truth. We want to know the truth. We want to walk in the truth. And you've known that. And Father, you have been so kind to reveal to us and bring things to our knowledge and understanding. Bring to us, Lord God, a freshness of truth again. Lord God, that people out here might think we're strange, but you don't think we're strange. Hallelujah. Lord God, you love what we've become. You love what we are. Hallelujah. Lord God, you pull us to yourself today. You encamp about us with your angels, Lord God. You've been looking after us because, Lord God, we've been looking after you. We've been going after your things. We've been after your wisdom. And Lord God, Lord, you have found pleasure. You have found pleasure in us in seeking after you, Lord God. And I want to thank you for that today. Lord, we set our trust today in you. We know, like in our nation, the craziness going on and all the things that happen. But Lord, we know this, that our voice is tied to the God of heaven. Our voice is tied to the one who makes the greatest difference of all in this universe. The one who can change all things, and the one whom man believes in. All things are possible to him that believeth. And we stand today looking at you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we have no fear concerning our president. You are caring for him today. Your hand is upon him today. Lord God, no matter what they do and what they rise up and say, it matters not, for the Lord God of heaven has spoken and said, and his word shall come to pass, and no matter what man does, it shall not change the mind of heaven, for it shall move as God has said, and it shall come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. For he has been chosen and set apart for this time and this place, and he will walk in this hour and time, and the gainsayers will say what they want, but they will not establish a wall against him, for the Lord God of heaven has set himself forward, and he will be his defense. He will walk before him and fulfill his plans and purposes in him. And men shall be destroyed who stand against the hand of God. For these are the days of my move, says the Lord, the days of my spirit. And I shall step forth, and there shall be men shall be tread upon, because I am moving, says the Lord, and there's a people for me in this day and time, and I am reaching out to bring them in. And then anyone who stands in the way shall be destroyed, says the Lord, for I will not tolerate such a thing in this hour, for I have spoken for the last time to many, and I shall call with my voice, and there will be those who will hear my voice, and they will come to it, and they shall run to it in this day and time, and glory shall fall in this day and this hour. Hallelujah. Great light shall come, and men will see light and run to the light, and those living in darkness shall go to greater darkness, and walk in greater darkness, and they will be completely blinded and stumble upon one another. But my church shall rise up in glory, and my people who I've called by my name, they shall stand in the glory, and I shall receive them unto myself, for they are mine, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Whew, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for this day and time, Lord God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, you do have great love towards yours. Hallelujah. Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for the confidence you're giving us this day and time. Confidence, hallelujah. Oh, yes, confidence, Lord. We will stand strong. We will stand strong. We will stand strong, hallelujah. There shall be no weakness. We shall stand strong, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Lord God, praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It just keeps coming to me. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't worry about these things. The things you're hearing, the news, they're saying so much. They're saying so many things. Who cares? Does it matter what the polls? This is something the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about. He is amazed how the conservatives, that call themselves conservatives, have worried themselves over the polls. When the whole last election, their polls were all wrong. And the polls come out and they still keep. I mean, it is the most, every year they tell you this, they're getting more accurate, they're learning more how to do it. And every year they miss it more. The last I heard, the heathen in darkness. Why do we think their poles would be in the light? Amen. What on earth is wrong with Christians? That we would even mention them. We shouldn't even mention them. You know, when George W. Bush was voted into the president, his first time in, Randall Greer, I've heard the prophecy and that stuff that he gave. He was at a church. And that was, back at the time they had, they didn't think he was going to be president and all that junk was going on. And Randy Greer was in a church, and he said the gift of faith came on him. And he said, George W. Bush is going to be the next president of the United States. And he said, he spoke these words. This was from God. God said, I've declared it. He said, it matters not what men says. He said, I've declared it and it will come to pass as I say. And he said, man will have no place in this. He said, for I have established it and I've said it. You see, one of the things that I see with this is this. I see these so-called people saying, well, you know, they're making statements. If God said that Trump's going to be the next president, why is it said so weakly among these prophets that say God said? You know, I know when the anointing's on me to say something, and I know when it's not. And we've had a lot of knots. A lot of men blowing wind out of their own heads. God has established some things, and I'm just going to tell you, man will not turn it. We've stepped into a time and a place of the Spirit in these last days that things are changing spiritually, where things are being set into motion. Kenneth Hagin prophesied this. He said that in the last days, and he's accurate and right about it, because I know it talking to the Lord about it. He said that we're going to see manifestations of the age to come manifesting on this side before we go over. Should I tell you what that other side is? It isn't. God is going to overstep the will of men. He's going to blow things up in the middle of the face of men and even in the church. God's going to step in. That's the age to come. The childish church and many of the childish spirit-filled church, they don't see it coming. God is making statements of boldness of what he's going to do. And if men gets in his way, he says he's going to destroy them. We haven't known that. But that's the age to come. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. God is going to do things in spite of all that men do. There's Christians who get run over by God because they will oppose what he's doing. God is setting things in motion. These are the days of the Word and Spirit. It's not just the Word, it's the Word and Spirit. You need to listen to know what the Spirit's saying. You need to see what the Spirit's saying. There's a move of God. And this move of God's greater than any man has seen. And the fear of God is going to come back again to the church of Jesus Christ. And there will be such glory. There will be such glory. And this is going to be hard for you to understand. But there will be Christians who will oppose the glory. And they'll perish. Oh, but for the ones who desire the glory. And walk in the glory. Days of heaven in the earth. Days of heaven in the earth. Days of heaven are coming for those who desire the glory. Before Jesus comes, there's going to be a church walking in the glory. Many will not know if we are here or there. For we'll be tied between here and there in the glory. For men will walk in the Spirit because God has ordained it. And men will walk into places of the Spirit they have never seen nor have ever known. But they will see from this side before they leave. For we're not going to be strangers to the other side. For we'll know it. We'll know it. Because we have walked in it and we have seen it and we have known it. Hallelujah. For God has ordained it. Hallelujah. God has ordained it. We're coming. We're coming. That time. I can just tell you today, I see the fire coming that Brother Hagin talked about in his prophecy at the end. He said he saw a ball of fire, a great ball of fire coming from heaven. And he saw that ball of fire, and I've seen that ball of fire, and that ball of fire is coming, and that fire is going to fall upon men. That fire is coming, and it's going to be this last day fire, and what a glory it shall be on those who belong to him. Hallelujah. 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 That fire, I tell you folks, it's almost like I can touch it. It's almost like I can touch it. It's that close. It's almost like I can touch it. See, I can tell. There's just like with myself, anointing comes on me. This is like a long time ago. A long time ago. The anointing used to come on me like this all the time. And now it's coming back again where this anointing comes on me all the time. It just comes on me. Comes on me all the time. It just seems like you hardly do a thing. You just like walk into it. It's there. It's there. Hallelujah. And we're there. Hallelujah. This is days of revival, folks. Amen. These are the days of the move of God. We're not looking for it. It's here. It's here. Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you for being so kind to us this morning. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord God. Oh, Lord. Lord, I desire that I can speak these things to others, not just to hear to us. I desire, Lord God, to be able to speak these things to others. Lord God, oh, the future. Lord, I can see why the apostle said, you know, that these things we put up with here, they're going to be nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Oh, my God, the glory. The glory to be revealed is what is going on here and now is going to seem like child's play here in our nation. The things that people tripped over and things people are thinking is so hard. It's a, Lord God, it's a nothing. The glory. Lord, Lord, you spoke to me and said that I was going to walk in everything I prayed. I was going to walk in it. Hallelujah. And Lord God, you've had me step into things. You've had me step into these days and times, Lord God. And I want to thank you. But Lord God, I'm not the only one walking into these things. Lord God, I want to thank you. Lord, I pray over these people right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for them to walk into this. To come and walk into this thing, to this place of glory, because it's not just for one. This is not for one. It's not for some. But it's for all those who will enter in. And God's called you to enter in this days and time, to step in, hallelujah, to take that place, hallelujah. Walk into it by faith. Declare by the Lord that I will. I am walking in at this time. I'm stepping in at this time to this place and this glory that you prepared. For the Lord has said this, I have opened a door for you in this day and this hour. And I've opened a door for you that no man can shut. And my people will enter this door and enter this place of my glory that I have laid out for them. And only those that can enter in will be the ones that are worthy. Oh, not everybody. Ones will long to get in, but they'll not walk in the place. They'll not come. But I have made for you, says the Lord, and you come and walk. You come and step in now, says the Lord, for this is the place of my anointing and my hand on you. And much is about to change. Much is about to change. And you are going to be what was said about King Saul. When the anointing come on you, you will become a different person. You will not be the same anymore. For my hand will be upon you, says the Lord. So step into that place, and I will rest my hand upon you in this day and in this hour. Ha! Oh, it won't all come at once. It won't happen at once. But you will find within yourself subtle changes, says the Lord. And the Lord's saying this, you're going to find yourself in the spirit of seeing and knowing, operating in you. You are going to see and know things so quickly and understand so quickly that you haven't before, but you're going to know now. You're going to know now, and it's going to marvel you because you're just going to know things. You're just going to know. You're just going to know. Hallelujah. For it is my spirit for this day and hour, for my people will have nothing hidden from them in this day and hour. For I have decided, I have set it forth that my people will know and understand. Oh yes, and they will comprehend in this day and hour, and they will not be fooled nor set aside, but they shall walk forward, and they will know. They will know the spirits that are in operation. They will know whether it's me or whether it's the enemy. They will know and comprehend. They shall not be fooled in this hour. power. For I have settled it, says the Lord. What belongs to me stays with me. I have chosen it and ordained it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord says this, forget the past, forget yesterday, forget what was. Don't look back anymore. For this is a new season as you walk through the door. For you have come into a place that you will not return from, therefore don't look back. Don't be as Lot's wife to see what was behind, but look ahead and walk into the glory that I have established for you. For looking back and worrying of the past and what's happened in the past will only lead to sorrow and longing. But I have not called you to that. I've called you to look ahead. Don't look back to the mistakes. Don't look back to where you tripped. For that is not the fulfillment of this time. For this time I will strengthen you and you will walk forth and I will make you stand. Though you have fallen, I will make you stand, says the Lord, for I have established it by my will. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we just let yesterday gone and before. Hallelujah. What was, was. Hallelujah. Lord God, the changing of the future and the help of others comes in looking ahead. It comes in looking ahead. I can see that. It comes in looking ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Yes, the days of great victory are just before us. The days of great victory and the change of many things. What in the past was shall not be anymore, but they shall be changed. Hallelujah. For the future has established it, says the Lord. For the future has been laid out, and I am the one who lays the future, says the Lord. I'm the one who establishes the future. And I have established the future for the church, and the church will have victory. And they will have victory on every hand. Hallelujah. And where before, as the enemy, if one was stolen from that had to be returned seven times, so it shall be the victory seven times greater than it was at any time before as you walk forth. As you go forth, the things that you failed in the past, there's things that you have thought could never have been corrected. But if you will look ahead, I will correct things and lay out, and you will see ahead that those things will become your great places of strength where you will walk in victory. You will walk, hallelujah, that established, full of promise. Ready to move forward. For I have laid this before you, says the Lord. I have established this by my will and my plan and purpose. Hallelujah. And you have been called to this. You have been called to this. Therefore you shall walk in it, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. My, 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 my. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my, my, my. Yeah, whatever you want to do, we'll do. Yeah, to obey you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My, my, my. Do you have anything, Michael? Oh, yeah, I agree with that. That's what it is. See, we can't take ourselves. The church has worked to try to take itself where it needs to go instead of trust. Now, I'm not speaking against anybody. I worked at it. Or sometimes we're working at trying to move ahead instead of trusting to move ahead. It requires God. The things that we desire, only God can do. what we want, only God can establish. It requires His anointing, it requires His power, it requires His glory. That's what it's required. And we're not asking for anything that He does not want to bring to pass. Like Mike said, it's like we're going from horse and buggy to, you know, like rocket just shooting it. That seems to be what it is. Hallelujah. Well, see, that's what the anointing of God can accomplish what men can accomplish, what men can work at and work at for years and years and years and years. It's sort of like what the church did with counseling. Church tried to do through counseling what requires the anointing to do. And we counseled. I remember reading, people gave me, I said, this book is really good, you know, for abused women, and read this. And I read the book and it said it's going to take an average of 7 years to, and I thought, God, if you can't do any better in 7 years just to get somebody's life straight, you need to get another job. And I fouled the book in the trash where it belonged. Psychology has taken over in the church. It's preached all the time. People preach psychology all the time, call it gospel. They got psychology in there. Hallelujah. God's a deliverer. And He knows how to deliver. And we're stepping into those days. The deliverance ministry is going to come back. Back in the late 1980s and in the 1990s, God desired to bring the deliverance ministry in, and it was thwarted by the so-called intercession ministry. The so-called intercessors and the intercession ministry got weird and got into all kind of flaky stuff and stopped the move of the Spirit. And men became to trying to do deliverances by the power of men and got into all kind of flaky stuff. Flaky things happen. But see, there is a real deliverance ministry, a ministry dealing with demonic powers. There's a real one. God worked me back then and worked through me in numbers of times and things concerning dear. Many times, you know, I would get around and things would happen and I'd know if there was a demonic power involved in it. I'd know. I'd know what to do. See, the church got into error and those anointings lifted. See, those people don't realize that sometimes the church is the one that causes anointings to lift and not operate, because they get over and following into wrong stuff and getting into wrong things. And see, now we're starting to come back to order again. There's order coming back in the remnant church today. There's order coming back. And see, I find this now. That's starting to come back to me. That's starting to operate in me again. But see, you got to come back to that. See, people get off and they're listening to all this junk going on and listen to people talking and preaching stuff that don't have to do with the Spirit of God. It's men's wisdom. And I know this one thing. You ain't going to deal with demons without the anointing. You can stand there and tell demons to go all you want and you ain't got the anointing on you. You're blowing wind. It's about the anointing of God on you. So you want to step into it. It's not anointing just for me. Any flow of the Spirit. This is some things you can learn. You know, as Kenneth Hagin talked about, back to healing revivals of the 1950s, and I've seen this. I saw it when I was down in Peru. The anointing that's working at the time in there, almost anybody can step into it and operate in it. Now, you might not stop and operate in the ministry gift of somebody, but the gifts concerning the demonstrations of the Spirit and stuff, you just sort of walk into those things. You can just sort of step into them at that time. Kenneth Hagin said this. It was the easiest thing in the world back in the 1950s to have a healing ministry. He said anybody could have one. In other words, that was the flow of God during that time, and you could just step into it. If you just flow into it by faith, you could have a healing ministry. Loads of people had healing ministries, and after that ministry left, their ministry left. After that anointing and flow stopped, it left. But while that was there, people could just step into it. And see, we're coming into a time right now, and I can tell, there's a flow of the Spirit that has not operated for years. It hasn't been around for years, and it's operating. I can get over in the flow of it sitting in my chair at home watching television. You can tell it. It's a flow. And it is the easiest thing in the world to step over into. It's the easiest thing to get over into. And this is what amazes me. I think, dear Lord, I don't think I'm any more spiritual than I was, but all of a sudden you get into it. So you can know this. You didn't become spiritual. It's a move of God. Don't get a big head because you'll end up in trouble. You and the devil will become second cousins. It's a move of God. And understand that. I realize this. This ain't Ed, because if it was Ed, it'd been happened before. This is a move of God. Things I would pray for hours to step over into, now I don't have to pray 2 seconds. I can step into it. It's like, dear Lord, you know it must have been God. If you could have done, I could have done that. I'd have done it before. It just comes. It's the easiest thing for me to get over to spirit of prophecy. I mean, I can step over there, and as soon as I get over there, I mean, I can, sometimes I almost think I could go on for hours. It comes. More than it's ever had before, it comes upon me. And I think, dear Lord. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's God. It isn't it. It isn't it. It's the spiritual. It's the spirit of God. And see, there's things stepping in that. So you know we're all called to prophesy, you know that? See, you can step in and see that flow of the Spirit. You can get in, you can step into that place. See, that's why it's learned to yield in this hour. This time we're stepping into we're into a flow here, and it is. It's a flow of the Spirit. Amazes me. Because I can see, you know, there's things coming back that are just like they were back there when I came into the kingdom. There's things in the move of God, and I can see it. See, folks, you need to understand, we're going to go the wells that we drank before we get into new wells. Everybody wants to run to a new well. Well, you ain't going to without bypassing the ones you were already in. Because those things of the Spirit are still for today. They are still manifestations for today we need to walk in. We'll go into greater, but we must walk in them first. Hallelujah. And like Isaac went back and redug the wells of his father Abraham, that's what we've been doing. We've been digging wells, folks. You know what? You sweat and you go through all that stuff. And when other people get to hear, you know, all their little messages about pew jumping and that stuff, and you're down in the hole digging. See, you want to go, let's go to where they're jumping. They're saying really nice things. Let's go do that. They ain't ever digging holes. Well, I'm going to tell you what, they ain't going to drink from the well either. We've been drinking from, we've been dug the well, and we're the ones that get to drink from it. We're like the farmer. We're going to be the first ones to eat the fruit of it. Hallelujah. We've been laboring at it. We've been listening to hard things and we've been sweating, but we're going to be the ones drinking of it. Hallelujah. It belongs to us. We labored for it. Hallelujah. It's ours. Don't let the devil steal it from you. And nobody else either. Hallelujah. This is our time of drinking. Hallelujah. The days of drinking are back. There's going to be a lot of drunks. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be drinking to full. You know, it's like Keith Moore said, there's some things in life you just need to get drunk to go through. And you know, there's things about that, getting over. You know, we don't know much about this today as having so much of the Spirit. I know the days that having so much of the Spirit. I remember walking out into parking lots and hundreds of people laid out in parking lots trying to leave this church and falling in literally hundreds of people. You couldn't drive your car out of the parking lot for the people laid out. And they weren't out there just playing fall. There's no catchers. I remember getting so drunk driving to a guy's house to stay after a service and drove up and my legs wouldn't work to get out. And I sat out in the car, I don't know how long. I sat out there drunk, couldn't walk, couldn't lift my legs. My legs were just like numb. They just wouldn't work. I couldn't lift my legs. I fell over in my own house, fell over talking in tongues, laying on the floor, talking in tongues. I could think in English, but I couldn't only talk in tongues. That's all I could. Every time I'd say something, I'd think, you know, that wasn't English, was it? No, it wasn't. It just kept coming out in tongues. I could think fine in tongues. But every time I went to say something, it was in tongues. See, I mean, while the day of Pentecost, it said they're a bunch of drunks, and they were right. They were a bunch of drunks. They weren't drunk as you suppose. They didn't have a nice little civilized church. God is going to come in and kick the tar out of these civilized churches. And some people he's going to kick out so he can have it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the days of the Lord are coming. Hallelujah. The shout and the joy are going to come back to the church again. There's not going to be any more weeping. There won't be any more weeping and crying for the church, but there will be a weeping and a wailing for those in darkness. But there will not in the church, for joy is coming back to the church again. And the glory is coming back to the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord, how do you stop this? It's hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for today. Thank you for being so kind and merciful to us. Lord God, I am so glad because, Lord, you said in 1950 you were giving this nation its last call. And Lord, I just want to say thank you for not shutting that call off. I thank you, Lord God. And Lord, I know this. Lord, that this call has been extended because there have been a people that have been after you. There are ones who have stood before you and they've not left things alone, Lord God. And Lord God, you've looked and seen the blood of the Lord Jesus and you'd seen the glory that was planned that you had for us as a nation. And Lord God, shamefully, we sidetracked from it. Shamefully, we got away from it. And Lord God, Lord, I'm not going to stand and make any excuses. There's only one thing that I plead to you for is mercy again. Hallelujah. And Lord, we've cried for that mercy. And I want to thank you because you have responded to us. You have responded to us with mercy. You have given us a president who has shown mercy to your church, which has shown great kindness to the church. And I just want to thank you. Lord God, he has shown himself kinder toward us. And Lord, it's because of you, Lord, than any other president that we've had that has shown such kindness toward the church in such a day of rebellion of a nation. And I just want to say thank you, Lord. I thank you that you didn't give the nation what it deserved. But Lord God, just because of those people that called, the ones who have stood in your face, and the ones have asked for mercy, and ask again for your glory in this nation, Lord God, they have knocked and you've opened. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you for listening to us. And I just thank you today, Lord God. I thank you for that move of the Spirit that is back upon us again for this time. Lord God, because we desperately need your hand on us. We desperately, Lord God, we need your anointing. Lord God, forgive us for much that we've tried on our own. We've pulled every lever. We pushed every button. But Lord God, many times they weren't your levers or your buttons. But yet, Lord God, you knew our hearts. We were after you. We want you. We need you. And Lord God, we're not going to be denied. Lord God, you have responded to us. And I say thank you. Thank you. Merciful, kind, gracious God. Yielding yourself, Lord God, back again. That again, our nation falls into your view and into your sight, Lord God. Where again, your hand reaches out again to this nation. And Lord God, Lord, we refuse to look at any fear to what's coming. Lord God, in our elections. Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus Christ, we look forward with great hope and confidence in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we refuse to listen to the voices of men. But Lord God, do we listen to your voice? And you have a plan and you have purpose, Lord God, and it shall be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Lord, you said to me that this is the days of great division, of great light and great darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you that great light has fallen, and especially, Lord God, at this time where it is counted, Lord God, in our government. Lord God, by giving us a president who has brought light, hallelujah, who has brought light. I want to thank you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, thank you, because, Lord God, that makes such an enormous difference in this nation. Hallelujah. Lord God, that light shining from our government, And I thank you, Father God, that there shall be more light. More light is going to rise up in this day of time because there will be hearts that will turn. Hallelujah. Lord, and much will be seen and understood, Lord God, in the few years that are coming ahead. Hallelujah. That will change many, many things. And thank you, Lord God. And also, Lord, I thank you for our vice president. Oh, Lord God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, a man who has stood, hallelujah. Lord, and I appreciate the fact that he's a light in Catholicism. Lord, that this man, Lord God, has been more light than a lot of the leaders of Catholicism. Lord God, that this man has stood and his believing. I just thank you, Lord God, for a man who loves Jesus, hallelujah, and has put righteousness ahead of everything else. Father God, Lord God, I love having leaders like this. I love having leaders. And I thank you, Father God. Oh, what a blessing, Lord, you have been to us to give us him and his wife and his family. We just appreciate, Father God, for your love for us. And Lord God, that love is not going to quit. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't believe the voices of men. I don't believe what people say. Hallelujah. Lord God, I've heard from heaven. And Lord God, you have spoken, and it shall be as you said. And as we go out from this place today, Lord God, we go out with victory. Lord God, we leave with a shout. Hallelujah. Lord God, we leave with a voice of triumph. Lord God, for we have the victory. For the victory belongs to us and it's ours because heaven has given it to us. It has been won by Jesus and we shall uphold it and declare it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Go if you can.